And he has to know where it came from. Because the prophet of the Lord went to him and told him, look, you know, don't take these people from Israel with you, because the Lord is not with Israel. The Lord's with you. They had a great victory. And now it says that he he brought the gods of the children of Seir. Now, who are the children of Seir? And they are the descendants of Esau. If you'll turn to Genesis 36, hold your place here because we're coming right back. Genesis 36. In verses 8 and 9. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. So he was the father of the Edomites. And verse 9, these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. So these were blood relatives. And down through the years, you see how many times, you know, Judah went against Israel, Israel went against Judah, this brother went against that brother. And so just because you're relatives, that doesn't mean you're going to be friends. And we know Esau was not favored of the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So it's all up to God. Everything is up to God, and we are not to question him about this. You know, you wonder, you know, well, what happened? You know, well, what did Esau do? Well, it said this, you know, that he, before they were born, you know, that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And it's all according to God's purpose. God's purpose will always stand. But Amaziah come from the slaughter of the Edomites, but he brought the gods of the children of Seir. Now, I haven't been able to ascertain who they are, who these gods are. You know, usually you can find out, you know, the name of them or something like that. All I know is that they were idols. Because, we'll get to that in a minute. But and he set them up to be his gods. Now, isn't this typical? If you remember, the nation of Israel had a god, had a king. They had the King of Kings. And what did they say? They said, send us, give us a king. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted a man in charge. God should be in charge. Now, we have a president. I know he is in charge of certain things and stuff like that. But we as God's children, I mean, we have the King of Kings. We have the real king. You know, we don't have to worry about these measly little politicians and stuff like that. And it kind of gets on your nerves sometimes. I understand that, you know, because you go to vote for somebody and they say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they do just exactly the opposite of what they said they was going to do. Makes you want to spit sometimes, you know. But anyway, we got to remember, this isn't our home. We're just traveling through here. We're on our way to get to where we're supposed to be. But Amaziah, he took their gods, the children of Seir, took their gods to be his gods, and bowed himself down, down himself before them. Now that, if you had any inkling of the existence of the God of heaven, this should scare you to death. And he had to know, because early in his reign, he did that which was pleasing to God. He did that which pleased the Lord. And he, I think, and it's going to show later on in the lesson today, I think he got full of himself. He took an army of 300,000 men and went up against an army of approximately, we're going to guess here, of 20,000 men and won. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I had them odds, I would expect to win, you know. And he sent back another 100,000 that weren't really his army because the Lord told him to. I think he got to think of, you know, I'm a great general, and I really don't know what he thought. It's beyond me. But he took their gods to be his gods and bowed down himself before them. These impotent gods that couldn't defend the people that he had just destroyed, wiped out basically. And burned incense unto them. Now, we don't burn incense or anything like that. We offer up prayers. And don't do near enough of that, I don't think. But we need to be in communication with our Father. And you know, sometimes, you know, family members, they're distant. Somebody might live in another part of the country. Sometimes they live in another nation, even stuff like that. And you get far apart. And we need to be close to our Father, as close as we can be to Him. As close as we can be is when we're in prayer with the Lord. And we need to understand it. He listens. He listens to us. And our Savior Christ, He's our advocate. He listens too. And if we don't know what to say, He says it for us. Anyway, he burned incense to these idols, knowing of the true God. He did it anyway. Verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. Surprise, surprise. And he sent unto him a prophet. And he was angry with him, but he sent somebody to him anyway. Now we are to go out, we have the Great Commission, we are to go out and tell people about Christ and what he's done for us. We're to tell them the full counsel of God. We're to go out and, well, like I said, the Great Commission. We're to do it. Anyway, he sent to him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? You know, it's like you're trading down. You got a Corvette and you trade it in for a Yugo. Now, I'm not going to try to compare God to a Corvette. I mean, he's far greater than any Corvette or anything. Anything. He should be first in our life. Now, I hope you all know that I love my wife more than bacon. I mean, she is the apple of my eye, and the Lord made her just for me and made me just for her. But God needs to come first, even before her. And a lot of times we don't do that. You know, sometimes we put family first. And family should be the first thing on this earth. But as far as everything spiritually and in our service to the Lord, God needs to come first. If you have somebody that you love and they're keeping you from serving the Lord, maybe you need to distance yourself from them. I'm not saying forget them or anything like that. That's not what God wants us to do. We are to live a life before them where they can see God in our lives. Anyway, Amaziah, he took all these things, and the prophet says, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? He took up these second-rate gods. And they're not gods, they're just idols. You know, you see these statues and stuff that people have on their television, usually, of Buddha with the big belly, and no, I'm not him. But how many idols are there in our lives? How many things do we let come between us and God? God needs to come first. When the doors of this house are open, we need to be here. And we got people right now that have to live at a distance that are doing everything they can to be here. And sometimes doing a few more things than they can. But anyway, God's going to reward that. I have no doubt. Verse 16, and it came to pass, as he talked with him, that is, the prophet talked to Amaziah, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Are you one of my counselors? You're taking on yourself to talk to the king. I'll have you know, I just destroyed 20,000 men. All proud and puffed up, full of yourself. He said, forbear. In other words, shut up. Now, me and Brother McCool, we kid around a lot, stuff like that. He's my pastor. But I would never, under any circumstances, unless I was completely off my rocker, tell him to shut up. I couldn't do that. He is God's man. And when he gets up here and he talks, and maybe he makes a mistake, so what? We can talk about it later and I can straighten him out. But you don't tell a man of God to shut up. It's just not done. And God will punish that. Anyway, and he goes on to tell the prophet, why shouldest thou be smitten? Anyway, he said, you want me to kill you? I'm not going to kill you. You've got no worries. But we let things come between us and God. And sometimes people are talking to us about things that we don't want to hear. Maybe there's something in our lives that, we know we're doing wrong. But it's all right. You know, I'm a child of God and he's going to forgive me, and which is true after a fashion. But there is going to be some comeuppance. God will not find you guiltless if you commit sin willingly after you come to the knowledge of Christ. And you don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse at all. And here's Amaziah. He's full well informed of the Lord, and he knows what the Lord's will is. And he says to the man of God, basically, shut up. You want me to kill you? Because you're telling me what I'm doing wrong? Then the prophet forbear. In other words, he quit talking to him. And said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and has not hearkened unto my counsel. So he's going to be destroyed. maybe not physically and right now, which is the way it works out. He's not done right then, but pretty soon. I mean, he's going to take a real big hit. So the prophet tells him, you know, I know that God has determined to destroy thee. Your kingship is going to be an afterthought. All the good things you've done, people are just going to forget them. And you never paid any attention to me. Verse 17, then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice or listened to other people, didn't listen to the prophet of God, listened to his own handpicked counselors. We got a situation like that in our country right now, and our president is listening to people that, you know, they can't find their head with both hands. They just, I don't know where they come up with some of their ideas. Anyway, Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice or took counsel from these other people and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. He wants to go to war. Look at me. I just won a great battle. I took 300,000 men and defeated 20,000. I'm going to go up against Joash, and so I'm going to send a challenge to him. He said, come on out, let's fight. Face to face. I'll show you who's boss. Well, he's about to find out who's boss, and it's not him. Verse 18, and Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah. You got kings talking to kings, isn't that something? Saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. So basically you got a weed telling a mighty tree what to do. Now, I don't have any kind of a way to explain this any better than what it is. I mean, you know, a weed is telling a mighty tree what to do. And, you know, what are you going to do? He's going to laugh or give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. In other words, stomped on the weed. You get too puffed up. You get too full of yourself. God's going to send somebody that'll stomp you. You better be careful. We need to understand where we are in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, true, we're God's children, and that's a high position. But how often do we remember it? We need to protect it. We need to have a name. People need to know who we are. I'm a child of the King. But you have this weed telling the mighty tree, give my son your daughter to wife. You know, they're making demands of it. And along comes this beast. Doesn't say what kind of beast. Could be a mighty beast. I don't know. Could be just a rabbit. Anyway, whatever it was, it trod down the weed. We need to understand where we are in the grand scheme of things. We can't make demands on God. He is going to do what He wants to do. God's purpose will stand. Always. So he goes on to say, thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites. Yeah, he did. He went and he smitten the Edomites. Smitten them good. And thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Look at what I've done. And he didn't even give God the glory for it. What does he do? He takes their little statues and their little idols and stuff like that, and he makes them his God, and he bows down to them and burns incense to them. Thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Look at what I've done. Abide now at home. Stay home, little weed, or I'm going to squash you. Abide not at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt? You keep messing with me, I'm going to hurt you. Now, do you understand when you go against God's will that these same words can be applied to us? If we don't do what he tells us to do, he can hurt us. Now, I think it grieves him to have to hurt us, but he's going to do it because he's a just God. He cannot let sin go unpunished. And if you are a child of God and you're living in sin in some way, shape, or form, he's going to let you know about it. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt that thou shouldest fall? Even thou and Judah with thee. You're going to take your whole country along with you. These people that have been placed in your care. And we need to understand, those of us that have families, especially us men, but women too, if we have a family, they have been placed in our care. We need to take care of them. And here is the king of Judah. He's, like I said, he's all puffed up and full of himself, and he thinks, well, you know, I beat 20,000 men with 300,000. Look how powerful I am. Let's go ahead and fight Israel. And Israel says, calm down. Stay home, or I'm going to hurt you. Verse 20, but Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. If you let anything come before the Lord, you're letting it be a god. Now, I don't know what is precious to you in your life. If it's your family, even if your family keeps you from serving the Lord, you better be careful. God can take that away. Anything that's precious to you, if it's more important to you than serving the Lord or being in the Lord's house or witnessing for the Lord, whatever it might be, if it's more important than God, you need to distance yourself from it. Like I said before, that doesn't mean you're to give up on people or anything like that. You're still to live a Christian life before them. You are still yet to witness to them and to point out what their ultimate end is if they don't come to know Jesus as Savior. Anyway, this is because it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. They turned away from God. That's what this is all about. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up. He didn't wait around. He knew he wasn't going to listen to him. So he went up, got ready for war, and he went up, and they saw one another in the face. Here they are. They're got a royal army here and a royal army here, and they're looking at each other face to face. Both he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. In other words, he said, we're not going to fight on my land. We're going to fight on your land. So he went into Judah to fight with him. Verse 22, and Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. But we had another great skedaddle. How many times have we seen this in our study of the king? People go against what God tells them to do, and they know better. You know, look, I got 300,000 men. I just beat 20,000 men. And all of a sudden, here's somebody coming up, and they're telling you, hey, little weed, settle down. And he wouldn't listen. But it said Judah was put to the worst. In other words, they got beat before Israel and fled every man to his tent. They skedaddled. They went home. But that's not the end of it. Verse 23, and Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem. He took him home. Now, wouldn't that be embarrassing? You get in a fight with somebody, and not only do they whoop you, they put you in the back seat of their car, and they take you home. That's happened to me, actually, so I got to be careful. But then it goes on, you know, it did end there, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. Now, I looked this up. This is about 600 feet. It was a well-built wall, because God doesn't want things to be done halfway. And when they built this wall, they built a substantial wall, and they tore down 600 feet of this wall. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom and the treasures of the king's house and hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now, we're going to spend a little bit of time here in verses 23 and 24. Why does God put in his book here? He says, Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash. See, other Joash, not the same Joash, it's the one he's fighting with now. The son of Jehoahaz at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. Now Ephraim, of course, is one of the tribes that left Judah. They were one of the tribes that went to Israel. And to the corner gate. Now, I'm not sure about the corner gate. I couldn't find a lot about it, at least not in the short time I spent on this. I should have spent more time on it, but I didn't. But anyway, I don't know what that means, if it has any hidden meaning, or, well, it wouldn't be hidden, except those of us that don't understand it yet. But anyway, he brought him home and tore down the walls. He said, you know, I can basically tell him I can come in anytime I want. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God. Now, according to what's happening here, Amaziah probably really wouldn't have cared that much about him taking the stuff out of the house of God, because he had already taken these other gods to be his gods. I wonder if he had second thoughts about that. I mean, the prophet came to him and told him, you know, what are you doing? Look what you're doing. You're taking these things to be your God, and they wasn't able to protect the people that you went up against, and yet you want to have them for be your gods. And how many, like I said before, how many times have we seen this? And the treasures of the king's house, now he might have been perturbed about that, and took his personal treasures and the hostages also. Now, it doesn't say who the hostages were. I imagine some of them were of the king's family to try to keep him in line, so to speak. And then they returned to Samaria. So they had the upper hand. I think this was a very measured response because it was of the Lord. The Lord told them what to do. Lord, when the fighting was over, instead of being an invading army or anything like that, he said, okay, you've won the battle. I've given you the battle. Go home. And they did. I'm sure they didn't recognize this because, as Scripture says, God was not with Israel because they had gone against him. But they went home. God is in charge. He's not in charge of his people. He's in charge of everything. Period. We had a nice little windstorm yesterday. And had a lot of damage around our area. Somebody lost their trampoline. It was on the way to church. Their trampoline was stacked up against the road sign. And we had a moment of silence for it, but it looked pitiful. And I saw quite a few pictures on the internet yesterday evening about things that had been destroyed, buildings even. And God looks after his children, and I think that he has a general affection toward man in general. I don't think that if he doesn't have some kind of general affection towards man, then why would he go through all this? Why would he put up with us? Because it's his purpose. His purpose was, he had planned to save me before the first words in creation were done. Before he said, let there be the first time, he had planned my salvation. My name was already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's purpose will always stand. Okay, verse 25, and Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. So he's not dead yet, but he's really humbled. They can come into his own country, knock down the 600 feet of the wall around his capital city, take all the gold and silver, all the treasure, take a bunch of hostages with him, and he can't do a thing in the world about it. Anyway, he lived after Joash, king of Israel, Joash. You notice in verse 25, we have both of them called Joash. Usually when they're both in the same verse, one's called Jehoash and the other one's called Joash. In this verse, they're both called Joash, king of Israel and king of Judah. King of Judah, Joash, has already died. And Joash, king of Israel, is about to die here. And Amaziah lived after the death of Joash, the guy that had just whooped him, 15 more years. So the Lord wasn't done with him. Not a whole lot more about him. And we're going to stop there. See, all that extra time got used up anyway. Verse 26, now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? So there's not as near as much in the kings about Amaziah. So he started off again being a great king and ended up being a footnote because of his own sin. Anyway, everybody stay tuned. Pastor's got a great message.